director. She was our the senior years, so she has a like half year, less than 1 year overlap with Pastor Jerry. And I also have an older daughter. Both of them are now all in graduate school. So this is me. So you can guess how old I am. If you don't know, you can look at my hair. Maybe you have an idea. Okay, now let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day. This is the day you set aside for us to worship you, to be refreshed by you, to be empowered by you. We thank you for the day. Yes, what a powerful name, Jesus. We thank you for dying on the cross, providing atonement for our sins. For this, we thank you. We also thank you for giving us Bible so we can know you exactly. And we also thank you for giving us our family, our church. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, please be with us. And may your words guide us today. May your words refresh us and empower us. We need you. Please be with us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, the Bible verse we just read, Titus chapter 3, is the place in New Testament where salvation is explained clearly. Usually we refer to the grace of God's redemption as salvation. After getting used to the term salvation, sometimes as Christians, when we read or hear salvation, we forgot to think through what was involved in salvation. In here, salvation is clearly explained in verse 3 to 7. Salvation is God's love, is gospel, is the good news. Salvation is our living water. We need to meditate on it and come to it daily to draw our strength and to guide us staying on the right path as stated in verse 1 and verse 2 we just read. Verse 1 and 2 is teaching us God's will, what he wants church to do for all Christians, because God saved us. He asked us to be ready for every good work and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. Thank God for giving us his precious words. Today's scripture have God's love and God's will for his children and for his church. May God's love comfort and encourage every brother and sisters here today. May today's verse rebuild every one of us, rebuild our church, rebuild our home. Our home has been in a difficult situation lately since the spring of last year. Today, I would like to encourage brothers and sisters, no matter how difficult it is now, let's stay together. Let's worship our God together and serve our God together. We fell down in here. Let us stand up together in here. God's redemptive grace is prepared for everyone who accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Let's learn from our mistake and experience God's abundance life with each other. That's my encouragement for every brother and sister today. Now let's go to the Bible verse. Okay, this is the introduction. Titus 3 actually is one of the books called Pastoral Epistles. So Titus 3 and the two books before Titus, it's 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, they all call Pastoral Epistles. By the name, we know this is the book Paul wrote to teach how to establish a church. So the purpose of all these pastoral epistles is establishing churches. What is church? Church is the household of God, the church of the living God. So that's what we learn from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Also, why build the church? Actually, the church is about the continuance of Christianity. Because if you look at Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, let's read it. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of my many witnesses, entrusted to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, in this sentence, verse 2, included four generations of Christians. Paul teach Titus, and he wanted Titus to teach the people who can teach others. So it's four generations of Christians involved in this Titus, in this verse. That's why I call establishing church, it's also related to the continuance of our Christianity. Today's verse, when all a verse this, all verses, how we digested this passage, how we divide it to understand it, help us. Is actually, it's kind of far. Okay. The first verse and the second verse is God's will for the church. We need to be the good and to be courtesy to others. And then connected by verse 1 and verse 2 is for, because. And then the whole verse 4 to verse 7 is a long sentence. The main verb in that sentence is for God. He saved us at verse 5. So that's the Bible we just read. I help everyone to analyze this so we can get an outline, help us to understand. That's also the way how we study Bible. So that's the first one, and the second one is for, and the third one is God save us. So verse 1, verse 2, 4. So the outline of today, the first outline, no longer the same because God's redemptive grace. Because God saved us, because He loved us. That's our first outline today is from verse 3 to 7. Second outline today is no longer the same because the church has to bear witness to the society. And the third one is God's redemptive grace is our living water. This is more related to 4. Let me explain this. Why there's 4? Because good character and be courtesy to others, it's also people in the secular world also doing it, right? And why Christian also doing it? What's the difference? So therefore, this 4 is very important. Also, the Bible, I need to point out, this 4 is originally, it was there in Greek Bible, when the Bible originally read in Greece. It was there, but it was missed in NIV version, but it was there in NASB, in ESV. ESV is a Bible more in the translation, when translating from Greek to English, is translating according to the word by word. That's why I choose to use ESV today. And the 4 actually is the more important one because secular people, regular people also doing good. And what's the difference between church doing good? What's the difference between we doing good as a Christian, and why we're doing good? So understand these 4 is important. And I also wanted to share with you, in these 4, it's not only if we read quickly through this verse 1, verse 2, it's a high order from God. It's a requirement from our God. But once we go through this, I hope you will understand it's God not only gives us a very strict requirement, but he also tells us how to do it. So that's the four. That's the key point of the four. That's the outline number three today. So now goes to first outline. No longer the same because of the grace of God, redemption. I call this no longer the same because before we save and after we've been saved by Christ, the life is different. Therefore, I call because Christians have been regenerated by grace, God give us Holy Spirit in our heart, and Holy Spirit will guide us every day. So that's why I call it no longer the same. We focus on the first thing. If you look at the blue one, the verse 1 and the verse 2, and the black words in the screen, verse 3, they are big difference, right? To be submissive to rulers and authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, and to speak evil of no one, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. This is a good environment. This is what people longing for, and this is what the church will attract more people, will let more people want to come, because this is the environment people are longing for, and that's God's purpose for church, for everyone to come. And compare with verse 3, it's totally different. We also can see the difference. With God and without God, the life is totally different. So this is to show the old, the new, and the new, the old is controlled by our own flesh. The old is controlled by the flesh, our own flesh. The new is led by Holy Spirit and God's words, our Bible. Salvation is God's love. We know normally we call salvation. We really did not analyze it, but today is the opportunity for us. Verse 3 is tell us before. I cannot see this. My old eye, I did not expect. It's too slow. But let me see. For our verse 3 is saying before. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slave to various passions and pleasure, passing our days in malice and envy. So we were enslaved all these things. We cannot get out of it. We are controlled by all this secular pleasure and all the things. So we need the grace. Okay, and then verse 4, but that's the timing. When Jesus Christ, that's showing. Verse 5 is he saved us. That's the main sentence. Okay, and how God saved us, it's also described in verse 5 and 6. Okay, and verse 5 has this, by washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's why our life is no longer the same. Verse 6 is we have a Holy Spirit. Verse 7 is we are heir of God's kingdom. Okay, so after we've been saved, you know our status. Our status is like what described in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. That's church. That's God's children. That's our situation. That's why God asks us to be holy, to have good character in verse 1, verse 2. Okay, now for these three, I want to point out one key point, humility. If you look at all three, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient. If you read all the three, actually, if I tell someone, I'll be in trouble, right? using verse 3 to tell someone. So it's not easy to tell. This Bible verse here, in commentary, they call it convicting, but life-changing. Okay, so, and also, verse 3 has very basic Bible logic in reasoning with us. Bible treats every one of us equal. We all labeled. We all sinners. Okay, so the blue fonts in verse 3, you can see the blue fonts in Romans 3.23. Romans 3.23 also teach us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And verse 5 teach us, he saved us not because our works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, according to God's mercy. We are all labeled. So this is the basis of every one of us to be humble. I picked humility is because in one of the Bible translation, New Living Translation, verse 1, verse 2, it's really ended at the true humility towards all human. True humility, humble, is the basis of our good behavior in society. It's the basis where we can start to bear witness, not only individually, you or me or others, but as a church, as a whole, in this society, to be the salt and the light of this community. A humble person will have no pride. A humble person will give glory to God. Humbleness will make us to be submissive to rulers and audience or authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Humbleness will not make us slander with each other, nor compete with each other. The Bible requires us not to compete with each other. But look around in our society. People compete with each other, both openly and covertly. They rise themselves up by pushing other people down. That is because they are not humble. They are so into compete with each other. They even compare their own children with other people's children. Created pressure for their own children. Parents are supposed to support their children and protect their children, but they use their children to compare with each other. I also went through that life. My father also doing the same thing. Actually, a lot of Chinese parents made the mistake. But I'm glad I was baptized when I was 40 years old. Then I started to learn God's concept, God's logic, God's word, regenerate me, washing me from the old habit. Yeah. So, brothers and sisters, we need to return to Bible, examine ourselves against the truth in God's word, so we can be renewed by God's words and be humble. Today, our words need God's word. Today our word needs God's words. Let us spread God's words. Let our church become the salt of light and the light of our community. Let our church become a place where people can worship God and empowered by God. Let our church fill with the true peace from God. In our church, we had people who were not humble to the point that they would not wait for God's calling. They used their own way through personal arrangement to pursue church eldership in our church. Brothers and sisters, This is harsh for me to say it, and harsh for you to listen. But I need to say it, because this kind of behaviors had affected the church, our church, so much in the past years. Please forgive me, I say. Some of us were involved in these matters, and some of us were supporting them. Brothers and sisters, let us return to God's redemptive grace and ask for his forgiveness. God's grace is enough for us. God loves you, and I love you too. Please repent and reconcile with God. Now, from verse 3 to verse 7, I also want to point out there's the Holy Spirit come to us, come to Christian. It's the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Okay, I show this Holy Spirit is stated in verse 6, but I also show Ezekiel chapter 36, 27, 25 to 27, right? Especially if you read 26, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my status and be careful to obey my rules. I want to point out especially to our young brothers, sisters in our youth group, because I share this with my daughters when they grow up. This is part of the reason. When we become a Christian and when we have a difficulty to accept Christ, sometimes we wait, we see. But this is the place. After the Bible study for 1 year in Minnesota, then I realized there are many Old Testament prophecy being filled in the New Testament. So, for example, in verse 4, today we're talking about the time Christ come to the earth, right? It's also well predicted in Isaiah, in Old Testament. But today I want to point out this one about the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fulfillment. And I share with my daughter is because when you go to college, people will ask you to reason with you, to want you to prove the creation. We cannot prove creation. But brother and sister, be understand. What we believe, one is relying on rationale, one is relying on reasoning, but we also relying on faith. And our faith is not no ground, no foundation. Our faith is where proved in the Bible. All this prediction, prophecy in Old Testament being fulfilled 400 years later in New Testament. It's God's power. It's our faith. So I wanted to solidify your trust in young brothers and sisters, because according to the statistics, a lot of children grow up in church. They did not go to church when they are in college. So I encourage our young brothers and sisters. I don't know, you all have cell phone. I don't know you have Bible or not. Do you have Bible? This is our living book. I encourage you all, brother, sister, to buy a Bible. This is my Bible for 20 years. So it's not just a book. It's God's power. It's God's miracle. Looking at the history, how many countries, how many governments want to burn this book, but this book still survives. That's why when I pray, I thank our Lord, give us the Bible. We can know him exactly. We can know him correctly and can be encouraged by the Bible, can be comforted by the Bible, can be empowered by the Bible to do the good work. So God's love. For God so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 7, yes, I point this out. Of course, John 3:16 summarizes God's love. And we also keep saying salvation, salvation, but salvation included verse 4 to verse 7. There are so many things. God saved us from the ditch. He saved us by letting his beloved son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. So the whole verse is straight together by God's love. So my encouragement, we are all redeemed by Christ's blood. May the brother and the sister always live under the love of God. May God's love soften our hearts and lead the church to a path of holiness and unity. I also wanted to point out God's love. What God did to us, the most close case we can see is in Genesis chapter 22, when God tested Abraham. God told Abraham to bring Abraham to a mountain and to sacrifice his son. God told Abraham to bring his only son, Isaac, to a mountain. And God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a burnt offering. And Abraham followed, obeyed. Isaac followed, obeyed. But God's grace, God provided a lamb for Abraham, for Isaac, for our sin. For our sin, God provide a lamb, Jesus Christ, as our atonement. I give a Bible example, Second Samuel chapter 11, David and Bathsheba. We know David sinned by having adultery with Bathsheba. Right. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Nathan rebuked David. And David repented. So that's why David write Psalm 51. If you read the Psalm 51, we don't have time to go there, but it's a genuine repentance. God's grace is enough. So, in this, I give this example, is this. God's grace is big enough. God will forgive as long as the sinner has the genuine repentance. So, I share this, is this. We also need to notice, this is in salvation. We see repentance and be forgiven by God and reconciled with God. That's the only way we can forgive. So in church, sometimes we use the name of love, we use the name of forgive, but how do we do forgiveness? So we do the forgiveness by putting it under the carpet, not see anymore, or we really has the courage to go to the people making a mistake and tell them, hey, you made a mistake. You need to repent. So they can reconcile with God. Reconcile with God, restore the relationship with God is the most important thing. So brothers and sisters, when church discipline comes, of course it's difficult. But when we want to offer forgiveness, please use Bible way. That's the only way. That's the only way teach by Bible. If I use Mr. A's way, method, or I use Mr. B's method or the other people's method. After church discipline, people will come suggest, why don't you do that, why don't you do that, why don't you do that? Yes, we did not thought about it. Or we thought about it, we did not do it. However, if church listen to all this way, it become a messy. So the only way, the best way, the reliable way is following what God teaches us in the Bible. So we always say salvation, we always say good news. It's not only the good news save us, but there's a lot of Bible truths we have to follow. It's the truths we need to understand so we can carry out how to forgive. Just use this one example. Okay, this is the end of the first section. What time can I go to? Can I go a little bit longer? Yeah. Okay, this is the end of first section. I want to encourage to remind everyone, we become a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we are no longer the same. We need to rely on God. We need to give up, or we need to bury all our sin and give up all our bad habit, and then become renewed by God and do the right thing. Okay, the second outline is no longer the same because the church has to bear witness. I want to point out that if you look at the church witness, because the mission, actually Paul writes this book is at the end of epistle, and three books, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the Titus. And Titus chapter 3 is the end of the whole book, and it's also the end of pastoral epistle, three books. This is where, Paul has a mission. He wants to establish a church. That's why, if you look at the old book, do good to all peoples and perfect courtesy toward all people. So, Paul's all people here has the mind he wants us to bear the witness. And if you look at the Paul's the whole life, his life is about mission, about spreading good news. So, of course, he has this in mind. And also, the new church, the church, are also built upon what Christ did for us. So that therefore, if we think why this is the place, explain God's salvation, what Christ did for us, the most clear place. It's not coincidence. Bible is breathed. The words breathed from God. So we need to understand. That's why Paul really have this in mind, spreading God's good news. Also, church have to bear good witness to the society. Remind is also important because not only here teach us, the first verse use remind, actually, and obey the authority in church. This is where Romans chapter 13 explains the most clear place. So it's remind. And I want to point out the dual meaning of God's redemption. If you read Titus, okay, I want to point out Titus 13, teaching us to renounce ungodliness and the worldly passion and to live self-control. So, salvation has two purposes, to renounce and to live godly life. It's the same thing. It's the same thing you can see in verse 14. I'm not going to that. To redeem us and to purify for himself. So to purify, to redeem us and to purify us. So that's, I want to point out, God's salvation has dual functions, not dual meaning, just understanding. It really should be, I should write it dual functions. wants to purify us, wants to redeem us, wants us to have godly freedom. So, all this teaching is related to God's attribute, holiness. In here, God teaches us, "For I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." So, we should be holy, for I am holy. But here has another logic. I want to point out, I'm the Lord who brought you up out of the land. It's the same as here today. Bible verse, God save us. He owns us. We need to follow his requirement. Now, goes to obey church authority. Now, I come down to mirror into obey authority. And now I'm focusing into obey church authority. We're focusing on remind them to be submissive to ruler and authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Okay, let's read this. The authority. What's the authority? The power of the church is God-given authority to carry on spiritual warfare, proclaim the gospel, and exercise church discipline. Why is teaching obey church authority important in Bible? If church does not teach authority, church will lose authority and will lose church testimony in society. And you may ask, what if the authority is wrong? So I want to share this, James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Those called by God need to be accountable to God. So, but for us, we need to obey God's teaching. We need to follow the Bible teaching. Of course, I share this because the time's restraint. If you read this Bible verse, it teaches us how difficult it is as a pastor to teach God's word and to teach authority, to teach holiness in the church. Because basically what pastors is teaching in the church is against social our society, right? It's our society habit. Our society is focusing on diversity, focusing on multicultural. It's focusing on we be good with each other. As long as you are fine, I'm fine, and he's fine. So everyone is happy. But in church, it's different. We have God's words. We need to follow to the words exactly. That's why I want to point out the difficulty for a pastor in the church to teach. And I want to encourage brothers and sisters, let's all obey our pastors, including myself. I want to ask, am I obey the authority of God set in our church? Are you obeying the authority God set in our church? During the past years, I find out one thing. I want to share so we can change. This is kind of spiritual sensitivity. When church has difficulty or a tough decision, brother and sister always go to the mature Christians or Sunday school teachers or a lot of people respects by brother, sister. I notice all these Sunday school teacher, all these main co-worker, all these mature Christian, the first thing they do is they call and they examine the church decision and to see if we are right or wrong. So do During the past year, I answered so many questions. And I realized, all of a sudden, I realized, so many brothers and sisters always doubt and examine church decision before obeying, before accepting it. So I want to point out, if church wants to get on the path of holiness and unity, all our brothers and sisters are part of it. We need to obey. We need to obey. We need to follow church decision. And we are lucky. Our church decision is not made by one person. It's not dictating by one person. Look at it. When we were healthy, we have 7 members in shepherding team. That's a team decision. Sometimes church decision also goes affirmed by church council. So our shepherding team plus church council has 20 brothers and sisters. A decision is not dictated by any single one. I want to point out, because if brother and sister always doubting our decision and cannot follow and always question, we will be in trouble all the time. That's what I observe. But myself, I cannot change our church. I want to point this out. I want to share with our brothers and sisters. Let's together change our church. Make it holy. Make it united together. Make it all service in church is only for God, not for personal gain. Okay. I share this in congregation meeting, but I want to point out this again. Okay. I share this though. King Saul wants to kill David, but David, for twice, he did not kill King Saul, right? One time is in the cavity, and David's reason is this. The Lord forbid that I should not do this sin to my Lord. The Lord's anointed, the Lord's, because Saul was God's anointed, so David was not there to kill him. Although, David was running for his life because Saul wants to kill him. However, when David had the chance in the cave, he has the opportunity to kill Saul, but he did not. Not only David did not, he also did not let people around him to kill Saul. So this not only happened once, this happened twice. The one time is in 1 Samuel chapter 24. The second time, David again spared Saul's life in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Ever since we started the new church building last year, how many pastors and ministers of our church has left? It's a huge spiritual war for God's house, for church as a whole. This is a great loss. Our church had to pay a painful price. Our elder candidate, deacon candidate, and the members of our pastor search committee were all embarrassed by congregation voting at the end of last year. Dear brothers and sisters, we are not healthy. That's why I want to use today's passage to encourage us to be regenerated by God's grace and to understand God's will for our church. We need to bear the witness. We cannot keep doing things like this. Brother and sister, we had many people among our congregation members who were aware of these sins. What did you do? What kind of church do you want? What kind of church do I want? The following is very hard for me to say, but it's my responsibility to say it. Please forgive me. We all sin against God. We push out so many pastors. My purpose is not confronting anyone. It's not condemning anyone. My purpose is to point out our mistake so I can bring brothers and sisters back to God's redemptive grace. May every one of us learn from David, the author of Psalm 51. Repent to our God wholeheartedly, and ask for his forgiveness. My goal is to lead us to repair our relationship with God so that we can serve him all together again. Okay, I point out the mistakes, but I also want to share 2 Samuel chapter 12 to brother and sister. When David repent, God also punished him by let the son David have with Bathsheba to die. However, after that, God gave David his son, Solomon, King Solomon. I'm not reading this, but I want to point out this Bible chapter to encourage you. God knows us. We still make mistakes. But I want to encourage brother and sister. Even after making the mistakes, be courage to repent and continue to serve. Continue to serve. Let's continue to serve together. That's my encouragement for people in our church, every one of us. That's the purpose of my sharing. Psalm 51, that's Psalm 51. If you look at verse 10, 1, verse 10, verse 17, it's the genuine repentance. David do that because he know God. Okay, he can have that prayer, he can have that song because he knows God. He's almighty, God can forgive. He also knows God's love is enough. He knows God's grace. As long as we repent, come to the cross, God will forgive. That's why David can be forgiven by God. Okay, so I share this Hebrew at the end. I want to point out Hebrew chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. 16 especially. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. I understand I made a mistake too. Last year, when I wrote the email to stop people from ousting our pastor, the tone of my email was very heavy. I apologize in front of Peacemaker. I also apologize to our church council. But today, I need to apologize to you, our brothers and sisters. I want to apologize in front of you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, brother and sisters. God's redemptive grace is our living water. This is after I realized one example. I used verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We can draw many strengths from there. God's love, God save us. We are the heir. We have eternal hope. It's all, we can all draw it. But I give you one example, my own example. Can you believe someone can draw the strength from verse 3? Just verse 3. I was saying verse 3 is tough to accept. Let me read. I use this example as forgiveness or be patient. Using your own power and your own mind to forgive and be patient with others is not going to be long lasting. Over time, I lost my patience and not easy to forgive others anymore. I have encountered the situation once that over a long period of time, I have lost my patience and the heart for me to forgive. and the issue stuck in my mind constantly, every day. One morning before I drove to work, I prayed to God in my car, "Lord, I cannot do it. Please help me." A few days later, God reminded me this verse. Why? God reminded me He forgave me so many sins because I was baptized when I was 40 years old. The previous life, I have so many sins, but God reminded me He forgave my sins and nobody knows. After realizing that, how can I not forgive? So I have true forgiveness. I give you one example, and this is also the point I want to point out. God not only requires us very strictly, but God also tells us how to do it. So when I read this Bible, then I realize God not this salvation, but it's also a method there and teach us how. I kind of treasure the Bible. That's why I encourage you, not only the electronic Bible, get the real Bible. You can write the notes there. You can go back all the time. And this also for me to realize how important when we look for pastors. We need to look for expository preaching pastors. Because expository preaching pastors will open God's words and lead every brother and sister under God's words, not under Him. And in the same time, we know how important God's words to us. I also want to encourage brothers, sisters to love our pastors. So they can have a smooth life. They can read the Bible. They can preach to us according to the words. Okay. The time, thank you for being patient. I know I run out of time, but it's my burden. I want to give all the message, and I've been waiting for 1 year, right? Now, this is the first time. Thank you for being patient. This is Bible truth. The title, in New International Commentary, New Testament, they call the first two verses as Christian living with society. The verse 3 and 7 is the theology that generates this life. A lot of things we do, this is all according to that four, because between verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3, that's four. A lot of things we do, if we really get into the Bible, understanding it, we teach it, people understand it, we know everything we do is based on the theology, based on God's words. So I want to point out this. The theology that generates this life, the words that create our life. So So my encouragement, I don't know how can we fix our church. I only know God's words can fix us. I only know God's words can unite us. We are so differently. We have different preference. But I pray our preference will be under control by God's words. And we will all obey God's words. We can rebuild. It's only God's words can rebuild us. Okay. So to summarize, God's salvation, we are different because of God's salvation, no longer the same. We need to bear the witness and the strength for us to do the good, to bear the witness, is because God's salvation. In chapter 3, chapter 7, we can draw many strengths from there. We need to come back to God's salvation, God's redemptive grace, all the time to draw the strength. So salvation is not only when you get baptized. Salvation is for all Christians to go back every day, all the time. And my last encouragement for brother and sister is continue to serve, also continue to contribute, continue to make offering. We cannot stop to contribute. When the church in turmoil, in trouble, stop serving and stop contributing is hurting the church, hurting the house of eternal God. This is not God's teaching, and this is not allowed in the Bible. In February of last year, Cantonese co-worker, because they are opposed to shepherding team's decision to extend Pastor Tran's contract to the end of this year, those co-workers, they come to me and they tell me, we will stop offering from now on because we do not trust the shepherding team anymore. And then later on, more and more people say the same thing. At the end of last year and the beginning of this year, some people in Mandarin congregation suggested not to contribute, so the church will be bankrupt. And some of them proclaim they have the resources to buy the new church building once the church is bankrupted. Brothers and sisters, shepherding team does not know who these people are, but we heard it enough. Today, my responsibility is to remind brothers and sisters to return to God's redemptive grace, His forgiveness grace, and think about what God's plan in our church. I wish all these brothers and sisters can reconcile with God, continue to serve, and continue to contribute. It is because serving and contributing is our personal relationship between Christian and God, unaffected by the environment, unaffected by any situation. I wish our brothers and sisters can respond to our God's love, our God's blessing, and continue to serve and contribute in our church. Thank you. Let's pray.